For just a second, I'm going to let my intrusive thoughts win. I was struck as Patricia was proclaiming the gospel with this memory from my first semester, my first year of seminary. And, you know, so most of you, I didn't grow up in the church, right? So lots of these words are Greek to me, pun intended. And we keep talking about the Sadducees. And I'm reading, and I'm like, who are these Sadducees? Well, they're the Sadducees. Not having grown up in the church, I didn't have someone to ever say that word out loud to me. So that's my intrusive thought, as I was taken back to perhaps one of the most embarrassing moments in my life, when I admitted in front of all of my colleagues that I knew nothing. So let's talk about something else that I don't really know much about. What happens after we die? And often this is a question that people come to their priest and ask, like, Father, what happens after we die? And it's a good question, right? We should be asking that question, because we're a people who follow a Lord who died and was resurrected. What happens after we die? That promise that we have, that for to God's faithful people, life is changed, not ended, what that looks like, we should be curious. And I strive not to be a terrible judgy person, and some days I'm more successful than others. But I must admit, I've heard some pretty silly, if not outright ridiculous, assumptions of what happens when we die. I'm rather certain heaven doesn't have a golf course. I can't say definitively, but many folks have come to me saying, oh, you know, he's now golfing with Jesus, and I'm just not sure that's how it works. I'm also pretty sure that heaven doesn't have a pond or a creek or a river that we can go fishing in or sailing or whatever maritime activity we want to get up to. And I don't think heaven has private rooms where we can just pick the people we like and hang out just with them. But perhaps the most disappointing thing is that I don't think when we get there, we're going to be able to queue up and ask Jesus all of our questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why does my cat show no interest in me during the day, but at 3 o'clock in the morning wants all of my attention? It's just not how we're going to spend our time in heaven. There are many things in this life that bring us joy that will fade away in the next. There are those here in our day, like there were in Jesus' day, who will say if the things that we love so much are not going to be features of our hoped-for resurrection, then what is the point? Why give up any pleasures on earth to attain something other than our own images of heaven? Why work for a heaven that is anything other than total freedom and free choice? But it's all sophistry and straw man arguments, just like our reading in the gospel today. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection and wanted to work to decrease the belief in the resurrection of others, and specifically wanted to undercut Jesus. The Levirate marriage that they described, that is described in Genesis and again in Deuteronomy, wasn't practiced in Jesus' day, but it was a convenient tool to try and make him look foolish. And often the Sadducees, historical or modern day, know our own texts better than we know them. And they use them to make us look foolish. For all the comfort that it may bring us, Jesus does not promise us 18 holes on Augusta National or on the old course at St. Andrews. There's no promise of a little stream teeming with native brook trout, or time to finally read all those books that we have on our shelves, or a chance to have that conversation that we wish we so desperately would have had. We're not promised any of that. We are promised that our tears will be wiped away. We are promised that where he is, there we will be also. We are promised that life is changed, not ended. At the end of our lesson today, we get a hint at what the next life is going to look like. The King James reads, because sometimes the poetry is just better, "For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him." In heaven, we will live to God. In heaven, we will live with God. In heaven, we will live for God. What does heaven look like? It's hard to tell you, but I can show you. We're almost there. It is so very close at hand. Heaven is all of God's children gathered together to sing and to pray and to feast. Heaven is giving thanks and being fed, even though we do not deserve it. Heaven is the fullness of all things. In the Eucharist, we enter heaven, plain and simple and beautiful beyond our understanding. In the Eucharist, we are fed and loved. We are strengthened and comforted. We are welcomed and adored by the one who is and who was and who ever shall be. You might ask how we get there. Through love. Through the love of God and Jesus Christ, through the hard road of the cross that becomes for us the way of life. We get there by setting aside our narcissistic tendencies and offering the whole of our being to the Lord of life. We get there through the waters of baptism. You might ask how we stay there. We stay there by learning to give thanks. Not just in the easy moments when the sun is warm and the breeze is cool, but in the moments where all seems lost. We strive to give thanks constantly, always exalting our God and our King. We ponder the splendor of his majesty. We come here as often as possible to taste and see that the Lord is good. You might ask how we bring this reality out into the world. A world where the poor having the food taken off of their plates. A world where our siblings in Christ live in constant fear for their lives. A world where hate and anger and distrust are rampant. How do we bring heaven into this world? We begin by dying to this world. Let it have no authority over you. We reject the works of the devil, ignore his attempts to make you hate. We take what we experience in the heavenly banquet and we do likewise. We feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and give water to the thirsty. This is a parish with a big heart. A heart filled with love for one another and with love for all of God's children. A parish where the least, the lost, and the left behind will be welcomed and loved and cared for. a parish where the division between heaven and earth is muddled, where we do not know whether we stand in this life or in the next. And for that, I give thanks. Thanks to you. Thanks to those who've come before us. And thanks to those who will be here when we are all reposed in the Lord. But most of all, I give thanks to the Lord of hosts, who is faithful and just. Let our mouths speak his praise this day, and may all flesh bless his holy name unto the ages of ages. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.